This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In the early days of the war in Iraq, American military and political leaders claimed that the Iraqi resistance was a speed bump on the road to victory. Well, now, 3 years later, the Army's chief of staff concedes the troops are up against a highly adaptive thinking enemy. NPR's Deborah Amos reports on some hard lessons that the U.S. military has learned in Iraq.
The sun sets on this dusty village. A group of men come together for a traditional Iraqi song. A bonfire blazes in the chill of the desert night. The Muslim call to prayer plays out and the light fades. Another group of men slide open a hidden ceiling in the village food stall where they have stashed 6 mortars. They fire their payload in the dark, the target, an American base a few miles away. The sound is threatening, but the shells are blank. This is Fort Irwin National Training Center. The village is one of 12, built out of plywood and imagination in California's vast Mojave Desert. There are more than 2,000 role players here, including 200 Iraqi Americans speaking Arabic, playing suspicious mayors and Iraqi townspeople. The drama is deadly serious in a 2-week intensive training course for U.S. soldiers preparing for Iraq. Fort Irwin reflects everything the U.S. Army has learned about counterinsurgency, slowly and painfully, from the mistakes of the past 3 years.
27 Tango's Mavi 1-2 shot.
One of the trainers, Lieutenant Hugh Bryce Walnut, served in Iraq in 2005.
It's not we roll into a town and tear it apart. This is about creating stability and not about going into a house in the middle of the night and scaring a guy's wife and children.
A dramatic shift in tactics since 2003. It's called consequence management, one of those military terms that describes a simple idea. By their actions, U.S. soldiers can keep Iraqis on their side or drive them to support the insurgents. Brigadier General Robert Cohn, Fort Irwin's commanding officer, incorporates real scenarios from Iraq, including some of the biggest failures. Prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib, the uprising in Sadr City, and an acknowledgement that the whole Arab world is watching.
We have a mock Al Jazeera outlet so that they can see their actions through the lens of an Arabic camera. We have the Iraqi people. We pretty much ask them how they feel based upon the way they were treated. There are consequences if you don't get it right. And I think our goal is for every unit that comes through here avoids any mistakes that we've made in the past.
General Cohn had studied those mistakes. He headed a lessons learned task force in Iraq. The lesson he learned, if the Army didn't change strategies and tactics, Iraq could be lost.
Oh, absolutely. I think we're against an adversary who changes constantly.
And are you in that school of thinking that, you know, it's a 10-year fight, it's a 15-year fight?
Well, I think historically, as we look at counterinsurgency warfare, we have to be patient in terms of outcomes.
In the spring of 2003, when American forces rolled into Baghdad, there was no rule book to fight an insurgency, which in those early days was often fueled by the indignities of the American occupation, something that's now acknowledged by American commanders. The Army's official counterinsurgency manual was 20 years old. Studying the subject had been out of favor in military colleges for years. At the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, Caleb Sepp, a former Special Forces officer, is an authority on counterinsurgency. He teaches a course to many Iraqi veterans.
In small war operations, is covert action preferable to overt military operations?
Sepp has been to Iraq 4 times.
One of the great failures of the Iraqi expedition was wishful thinking.
On his first deployment in early 2004, Sepp realized top military commanders would not acknowledge there was an Iraqi insurgency. He recalls a conversation with an American colonel.
When I was interviewing him, I used the words, the insurgency, and he cut me off in my conversation. He said, there is no insurgency in Iraq. He held his hand up with his palm toward me. He said, it is only high levels of domestic violence. this sort of self-deception, that simply by calling something by a different name would somehow change it, as opposed to the realities of what was going on the ground, speaks primarily to incompetent leadership at that time.
Another impediment, says Sepp, a belief foreign fighters were the major threat.
Very simple piece of logic that if there's fighting and resistance and people are shooting at you, it must not be the Iraqi people, because we were told they would be our friends. So it was convenient intellectually to rationalize that the problem was foreign fighters and to disregard the evidence to the contrary, that there was a large and growing resistance inside the Sunni community.
While foreign fighters do carry out some of the most spectacular attacks, disaffected Iraqi Sunnis make up the bulk of the insurgency, says Sepp, and pose the biggest threat to a stable Iraq. After getting so much wrong in the first years in Iraq, U.S. military commanders believe they now have it right. In this exercise at Fort Irwin, U.S. soldiers must guard a village mayor, control a crowd, and spot a sniper and a suicide bomber who tried to disrupt the event.
See the insurgent over there? You see him running over there?
Watching over the exercise is Lieutenant General David Petraeus, one of three generals brought home by the Army's chief of staff to speed up the timetable to get lessons learned in combat quickly integrated into training at home.
Yes, we're always tweaking it, always trying to make it better. It's really very realistic.
So realistic, even combat veterans can have an Iraq flashback.
In fact, we've had soldiers who have said they wake up in the morning out here and they're a little misoriented for a second, and they actually think they're back in Anbar province or Kirkuk or somewhere.
General Petraeus's command of the 101st Airborne Division in Mosul, Iraq, is considered one of the success stories in the first post-war year. His own writings on his experiences there are part of the new approach to counterinsurgency.
What we're trying to do is get it as close to right as we possibly can, but right is going to evolve because there is a thinking, adaptive enemy out there.
But Iraq is evolving too. There may be things worse than the insurgency. The American ambassador in Baghdad has spoken in stark terms about the dangers of a civil war. Caliph Sepp says the era of wishful thinking is over.
Yes, we can still lose. And that's why we have to pay very, very close attention to this.
U.S. commanders have turned a cold, clear eye to the problem. He says most officers say they think it can be done, including his own twin sons, who will be deployed to Iraq this spring. Deborah Amos, NPR News.
You can read analyses of U.S. military strategy by Caliph Sepp and by Lieutenant General David Petraeus at our website, npr.org.